Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Karen Beaver with Georgia Center for Nonprofits. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Georgia Center for Nonprofits. How are you serving folks?
Yeah, the mission that we have at Georgia Center for Nonprofits is to help nonprofits succeed through better management, leadership, and governance. So as most people out there know, nonprofits certainly are the front-facing piece of what they do, which is all the mission activity that you see, feeding people and creating parks and artistic theatrical productions and things of that nature. But behind the scenes, they are running a nonprofit business, which means they have to organize their finances and recruit people and do HR and manage their board and all of those kinds of things. And so we help them all with that business aspect of what they are.
And then it doesn't matter what kind of nonprofit they are. It could be medical, it could be arts, it could be business. Any type of nonprofit kind of fits the bill for your organization?
That's right. We help primarily 501c3s and work with a number of foundations across the state as well. We serve about 5,000 organizations a year, and they are all stripes. They're everything from very large museums to small community arts groups to very large food banks to very small food pantries and everything in between. So lots of different types of organizations that you can think of.
Can you give us kind of a thumbnail on what the nonprofit community is like? What percentage are large? What percentage are small? Are some of them, like, anybody can do this if they apply for that 501c3, right?
You can. I mean, there's some requirements. Obviously, just applying for a C3 is not just like filling out a little form. You have to have a board and things of that nature. So, yes, there's quite a number of nonprofits across the country, and certainly here in Georgia. About roughly 80% of all nonprofits operate at a budget size of $500,000 or less. So many that you know are right in your backyard. They're community-based or neighborhood-based organizations that are doing something very locally. And then the remaining 20%, you know, comprise the larger groups, I would say 2 million and up mainly. And most of those are what we would consider mid-sized. So you think about your local Salvation Army or Junior League or that kind of thing. And then we have a small band, perhaps like, you know, let's call it 8%, that are major, like colleges, universities, private schools, large hospitals, that type of thing. And then certainly there are, within the context of that, national groups that are situated here in Georgia, like Habitat for Humanity or CARE or the Cancer Society, things of that nature.
So now in your work, are you spending most of your time helping kind of the largest ones, or do you spend a lot of time helping the smaller ones?
Well, obviously the volume is larger with the smaller. And those are, I mean, obviously 80%, there's quite a number of those. So we spend a good amount of time with that. But, you know, we work with a large quantity of that mid-tier, and some of the larger are also our members. We are very fortunate to have a lot of larger organizations that certainly, you know, interact with us. So we don't really discriminate like that. We have a good representation throughout all of the size bands. And, you know, I think just because a group is large, like a technical school, a lot of technical schools have a foundation aspect to them, you know, that takes in donor money and helps provide scholarships to kids. People think they don't need as much help, but actually they do. Every organization, just like every business, has business problems that they're trying to solve. They're always trying to make a bigger impact, or, you know, manage their staff, find a different revenue model for a particular program, or, work on part of their finances. So every organization, no matter the size, has distinctive issues, and we certainly work with a large array of them all.
And for those who aren't aware, the nonprofit industry, I don't know if you consider this an industry, but all the folks that are involved with nonprofit, they employ a lot of people, probably more than most people realize.
Absolutely. And it is an industry to itself, 501c3 designation. We are the fourth largest employer in the state of Georgia, and we have the third largest payroll. And so we certainly employ a tremendous number of people and manage a whole host of volunteers on top of that. So our economic impact is quite extensive. And between the assets we hold, the employment that we contribute to the state's economy, and then also the indirect economic impact. You have to remember, these organizations buy consulting services, they buy office supplies, they buy, vans and buses to get kids to camp or to the daycare. They they rent space. So a lot of direct impact from the operations of these organizations. And then certainly the indirect economic impact, which is all the taxes, payroll taxes and sales taxes that nonprofits pay, as well as, all the people that work for them. And again, you're talking about the fourth largest employer in the state, purchasing homes and cars and, groceries and all of that.
So now tell us a little bit about Giving Tuesday.
Sure. We started Giving Tuesday as a response to the Great Recession. And it was right in the middle of the Great Recession. And we were trying to look for some way to help nonprofits who were suffering with substantial revenue loss. And of course, it wasn't just their organizations, it was the people that they served, right? And so much like today, we can come back to today, all the people that have lost their jobs, unfortunately, through this economic debacle that we're in right now and need food or need rent assistance. They were, nonprofits at the time were very struggling, as they are now, to meet those needs. And we were looking for a new revenue source. And at the time, it's easy to forget how fast the pace of technology has really marched on. But at the time, crowdsourcing was very newfangled technology, crowdfunding. And we saw that as an opportunity and put together a website, gagives.org, which exists today. And we listed the charities that were that operate in Georgia and also were registered with the Secretary of State, and launched a massive media campaign with the help of our dear and lovely partners at all media outlets. WSB has been a champion, WXIA, the Outdoor Association, Georgia Association of Broadcasters, just iHeartRadio, just tremendous help from media sources all over the state, and launched a massive media campaign and started raising some money that year, and it's grown. And last year we raised $13.5 million on one day, because Georgia Gives Day is one day, a singular day of generosity. It's a day, I call it a flash mob of giving. It's a day when we kind of push everybody through a media campaign to come together on what we call Giving Tuesday. So people know Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and then Giving Tuesday. And so we felt like, after all of the holiday time of buying and buying on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, we would have a day of giving back, which we called Giving Tuesday. And so we push people towards that one day. They're able to go to this platform, gagives.org, search for a charity by keyword or by their zip code or by the actual charity's name, and locate a cause they want to give to. And just within a few keystrokes, they can give. And what makes it very unique is 100% of the gift goes straight to the charity. And so there's no, management fee. We do all of this for no charge, no cost. It's our gift and our mission to do this for the community, and certainly all of our corporate partners and sponsors like Coca-Cola and Arby's and Mercedes-Benz and Gas South and All of the rest of them, we've had two accounting firms step up this year, Maldon Jenkins and Brooks McGinnis. All of our corporate partners over time have really stepped up and provided incentive funds. And then the public has stepped up mightily and given a tremendous amount of money closing in. I guess we're still waiting on all of the final results this year. We're kind of trajectory is about even to last year. So we're tallying up all of the results off of all of the platforms that you know, people give to on our Georgia Gives Day. And so all told, we hope we're going to break, you know, 50 million since the inception, which is a what I like to call an adult number.
And that's really amazing that happens during a pandemic when so many people are hurting, and still the desire to give is still very strong, and people are stepping up to really help those around them, especially in their community. I mean, kudos to you for pulling that off in a nice, elegant, seamless way that made it easy for folks to do that. And kudos to the state for stepping up and really contributing.
You're right. I mean, it just never ceases to amaze and delight me at how generous Georgians really are. I think we have one of the most generous states in the country. And I think, you know, with all that divides us these days, nonprofits are that place where we can all come together, right? And that's really borne out through the results. I think people come together when it comes to their community and their local community and what causes that they really care about, whatever your cause is. It could be animals, it could be the environment, it could be human services. People step up for those things, and they don't stop giving during times. We saw that in the Great Recession. We see that now, and we're very grateful for it. Certainly all your listeners out there, if you chose to give on December 1st, or you're choosing to give even at this date, I always say the giving goes on. It never really stops. There's never a bad time to give, right? So even if you miss the day, please feel free to step up and go ahead and give. But people have done that, and we are really grateful. Our community needs us more than ever, and these organizations need us more than ever.
So you mentioned that's ongoing. So the day is the real push that you're kind of drive attention to that one day, but by going to that website, they still can give. That goes on year round, or do you shut off at some point?
Well, we have a campaign, Georgia Gives on Giving Tuesday, which, you know, we push for and we try to get everybody to rally. But certainly end of the year giving is big for nonprofits. It's critical. That whole end of the year, your end of the year gift, a lot of nonprofits kind of plan their next year on what they receive at the end of this year. So, you know, if people haven't yet given or they have more to give, we always encourage that, particularly at this time of giving and celebration. And certainly what we do is we've created gagives.org. It's, a giving platform for the public to use to search and find charities very easily and give and be confident that 100% of their donation goes to that charity, but also for charities, because a lot of platforms do charge to use them. And so we wanted to give charities this tool as a free service, our gift to our community. It's a very professional platform that they can launch, you know, their own campaigns on. So a lot of our charities use it for, you know, just regular online giving throughout the year, or sometimes they'll have a push, you know, in the summer for gifts or things like that for a particular program, and they use the platform for that.
So they can go to that gagives.org, and then they can search for the type of organization they'd like to give to. Like, you can kind of filter down to whatever group you want, or it's something you have to know the name and then you can find.
No, you don't have to know the name. You can put in a keyword like dog, and it would, for example, and it would pull back both guide dogs for the blind as well as the Humane Society, if that makes sense.
Right.
And you can localize that. So if you're out there in Augusta or, you know, Macon or wherever you are, we have all of those organizations on there, and you can search by just putting in Macon or just putting in your zip code, for example. And it generally will pull back organizations of that, that local geographic area.
Now, during the pandemic, at the beginning of the pandemic, I'm sure you were pretty busy trying to help your folks kind of cope with that. Can you share some of the work that you did to help people survive that, or your nonprofit members survive that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, thanks for asking that. I think so many nonprofits have done such amazing work, and, you know, we're really there to support them. And, you know, so we really kind of thought about quickly, actually, you know, what can we do to stay in our lane and make sure that we're supporting in the way that we could. And one of the things that was happening to begin with was just mass confusion. You know, it's hard to remember. I mean, we've all been working at home for so long now, but I mean, it was just very difficult for nonprofits that typically are in, we call it a direct service mode, or, you know, they're doing artistic productions where we go to a theater and watch them at, you know, at a physical space. So everybody had to kind of turn virtual all at one time, had to understand what to do with their finances, had to equip their people to work at home. And then, you know, the legions of clients that they serve, you can imagine you're serving clients. Maybe people are coming into a free clinic. You suddenly have to do, you know, telemedicine, and you have to make sure your clients can do that. It's not just that you would have the computer, you know, technology to do that. Your clients can do that. And we saw that issue and kind of the breakdown in that when we, you know, everybody's kids had to go to virtual school, and not all kids had a device, not all kids had internet connection. We see this, and it gets even worse out into the state where you have a massive digital divide. And so, you know, helping nonprofits navigate all this, finding resources for that component. And then, of course, we had just mass needs happen all at once, huge demand for food, you know, people with chronic conditions that don't have a primary physician. Those, you know, diabetes doesn't stop just because you're under lockdown. You've got to be able to.
Right. The needs are, they're still
medication and manage all of
right.
That,
nothing. Right? That part hasn't changed.
You know. No, it doesn't change. Right. And, you know, seniors that need food. And so what happened was, you know, a lot of nonprofits, they operate off of a lot of volunteers, whether that's volunteer doctors that manage, you know, that might provide some help within a free clinic, or that carry food out to seniors' homes because many seniors are homebound, or, you know, do any number of services. We lost our volunteers. And that's like an extension of the staff. And so the nonprofit staff were working, you know, around the clock, dealing with all of that. There were supply chain breakages for food from the commodities program at the U.S. government. There was tremendous amounts of HR shifts and laws that were shifting around the safety, both of your clients, but also of your staff, and then virtual work. I mean, tremendous amounts of adjustments, just like, you know, and it's not any different than maybe the for-profit sector. But I think the thing was that nonprofits are particularly on the front lines during things like this. Most people don't know in Georgia, all the trauma one centers are in hospitals are nonprofits. And so, you know, if you had COVID, you were going likely to a nonprofit hospital, a tremendous number of those. Or, you know, if you happened to need food, you certainly were getting that from a nonprofit. Or, you know, if your mom was in hospice, she's still at the hospice, that which is a nonprofit. So, you know, our work doesn't necessarily really stop and go home. So there was a lot going on, and our charge was really to help nonprofits navigate that that situation. So finding resources, whether that was PPE for nonprofits, we found a tremendous amount of that and distributed. We helped nonprofits navigate, you know, revenue sources that just completely shut off like a faucet, and they still had bills to pay. We helped nonprofits navigate the PPP loan program. We rallied funders and helped everyone kind of get on the same page about what the critical issues were and where funding needed to go. And we were not the only ones. You know, tremendous numbers of nonprofits stepped up, donors stepped up, all kinds of things. I think we just tried to do what our role was, which is, you know, help nonprofits navigate their business, the business side of them during this mess while they were trying to continue to deliver services.
Now, for you, what do you need more of right now? How could we be helping you other than just tell people to go to GeorgiaGAGives.org? Probably is a good start to help all those individual nonprofits. But what does your organization need?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, like every other, we are a nonprofit ourselves. So like every other nonprofit, you know, we earn most of our revenue, actually, unlike most nonprofits, through training fees and consulting fees and things of that nature. So, you know, our revenue certainly has taken somewhat of a hit. We've been very lucky to have some foundations step up for us, but and certainly nonprofits themselves, but, you know, always appreciate donations. They go straight through to helping nonprofits do what they do. And I'll give you an example. We had a major donor, the founders of MailChimp, do a substantial gift to GCN, and we turned around and helped. We've now helped 130 Black-led and Black-serving organizations with strategy adjustments and kind of navigating through this with those funds. And so we typically use those types of funds just to turn around and plow it right back into our nonprofit partners, just as we do with Georgia Gives. We raised a substantial amount of money. Coca-Cola gave $250,000 for Georgia Gives Day, and that flowed straight through us to a number of groups that are women, serve women entrepreneurs during this time with their work to support those businesses. So everything we get really kind of flows through. So if people want to support their favorite nonprofit with their capacity, they can certainly reach out to us, and we'd be happy to work with them on that. I would say the other thing is, you know, if you're out there and you're on the board of a nonprofit or you just have a favorite cause, ask them what kind of capacity, you know, issues that they're struggling with, because you've got the mission side where they're delivering food or, like I said, medical care, or whatever, and you've got the internal side where they're trying to keep people on staff, you know, manage that staff, create strategies to get through this, you know, purchase and afford telemedicine or telework kind of technology, that kind of thing. And so those kinds of donations straight to your favorite nonprofit for those kind of capacity issues are much needed right now. And folks can do that through gagives.org. They can certainly find those organizations that they care about and, you know, earmark a gift for capacity and management during this time. I can't tell you how important that really is.
Now, in your, I think early on you mentioned there's tens of thousands, maybe as many as 50,000 nonprofits in Georgia. Is that right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's, you know, there's actually a lot of people don't know this. There are about 38 different designations of nonprofits. So if you think about the whole code, you know, of Georgia, there's 501c3s, which we typically think of when we think of nonprofits and charities, right? Those kinds of, like I said, those organizations that do food or health or arts, things like that. But there's also, you know, associations and fraternities and sororities and all kinds of things like that. But among nonprofits, 501c3s, there's roughly about 27,000. Yeah. And about 7,000 or so of those, let's call it 8,000, are, you know, earn more than $25,000 a year. The vast majority of nonprofits are very small. They work in, you know, like a PTA in a school or a, you know, a booster club for something, or a Keep America Beautiful in a very local area. But those groups that you're talking about, like a Red Cross or a Salvation Army, Junior League, let me think of Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, that's kind of stuff. You know, those are typically what we talk about when we're talking about that 8,000 that report on their 990 and get a lot of information on their actual operations. And they file taxes every, you know, their tax returns every year. And we know a lot about them.
Now, is that something that you want, like, every nonprofit to become a member? Or is this something that you just serve all the nonprofits, whether they're a member or not?
Right. That's a great question. You know, we do serve all nonprofits, whether they're a member or not, with some type of resource that we have, right? We have a website, gcn.org. It is just absolutely chock-a-block full of all kinds of resources that folks can get to, regardless of whether they're a member or not. But we do encourage membership because they get a lot more resources. We're just unable to serve every single nonprofit, as you might imagine. And I mentioned earlier that we do earn most of our revenue. That's how we operate ourselves, is through membership fees that help us produce these types of resources. And so members get a lot of different kinds of training and resources like that, that maybe non-members don't get. But let me just say, GCN.org is full of resources for every kind of nonprofit, or if you're a board member or a donor to them. We try to produce a lot of content and help for groups regardless.
Well, congratulations on all your success, and thank you for doing what you're doing. We really appreciate it. It's needed, and thank you for stepping up in your organization, leading your organization to step up and serve all these folks that, at the heart of it, are trying to improve everybody's lives here in Georgia.
Well, we really appreciate that. And again, we want to thank Georgians for stepping up for their nonprofits and their community. And certainly if you're out there and you're leading one, or you're serving on the board of one and you want to learn more about GCN, please do go to gcn.org or just call us on the phone. We actually answer our phone every day, many times a day, and help people with their questions or give them more information about how being a part of GCN can help them. Lots of scholarships to training, lots of scholarships for consulting and helping people navigate through this time. So we hope you call on us and give us a chance and an opportunity to help you too. We're at gcn.org.
Good stuff. Well, Karen, thank you again for sharing your story.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work could not be done without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.